Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Morning. So the meeting is upside down today because the world seems to be upside down, but we're going to turn it right side up. The word of the Lord goes first. I'm just going to work out where my little clicks things are, and then I'm sorted. Okay. So, what does Halloween really mean? What is it all about? Where did it come from? I'm praying that as God gave us insight and wisdom to speak on this topic, that'll bring light to those who hear it, and perhaps even be a tool for you to be able to equip others, and maybe even for some of you realize how subtle the enemy is in sneaking in the back door that we didn't realize we left open. So, click the wrong button. Let me try again. Is that better? Yes, okay. I'm sorted. So, when does Halloween happen? I think we all know, thanks to the advertisements around, but actually, the ancient Celts, the Celtic people, celebrated it at a time they called Samhain, and I'll explain what that is. Most significant of the four quarterly fire festivals that were in their calendar. It is actually supposed to be the midpoint between the fall and equinox, the fall equinox and the winter solstice. So actually, the true date of this festival would have moved by plus or minus 10 or 15 days, just like we see Passover move. But actually, some reasons that you'll hear, it got stuck on the 31st. So now it's always celebrated on the 31st, when the actual festival is not really always that date. It was actually a date chosen by the Catholic Church, believe it or not. They moved a festival from the 1st of May to the 31st. And this is actually linked to celebrations of All Souls Day and All Saints Day, which celebrates and remembers the dead. So this was an attempt to Christianize, if you like, Samhain celebrations, which the Roman Catholic Church at the time, under Julius Caesar, wanted to actually try and deal with it. But instead of, like I'm doing today, hitting this thing head on, they kind of smoothed into, let's just adopt it. And so it became adopted as a so-called Christian festival at the time. And the name comes from the night was actually called, it's actually a night festival, not really a day festival, All Hallows Evening. Now, that is the night that they celebrate, and I explained it just now, but when the souls of the dead come back and the demonic spirits come back, and that's where all this haunting and nonsense comes from. So that All Hallows Evening in Gaelic, probably pronounced Eve, which is what? Halloween. Okay. Click the right button this time. There we go. So what and why and what? Samhain is actually a Gaelic word. It took me 5 days to find what the meaning is because everyone just refers to it as Samhain like it always existed, but someone had to come from somewhere. So that name came up when the Celtics called this time, and it actually means summer's end because the actual time it's being celebrated is at the end of their summer season going into the death of winter. That's why this whole celebration is so linked to death. So it's a festival centered on death, held at the end of summer, ushering in the death of winter. Because if you lived in the northern hemisphere, like they are now, they're starting to experience a bit of cold. And the key thing is that linked to the spiritual aspects of this, the same night, the curtain was lifted to the world of the dead. That's why there's so much spiritual significance to this Halloween. And that curtain allowed for that night, interesting that it was a night festival and not a day festival, the spirits of the dead to come back. People actually set tables for their dead people at Halloween or Samhain festivals. But along with them came demonic spirits and demonic powers. And so as I go through this, I'm going to tell you what it means, and then we're going to say, well, what does God say? Isaiah 8, verse 19 to 20 says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists to whisper and mutter, should you not inquire of their God? Should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. So God speaks against this whole concept of speaking to dead spirits. Stonehenge is associated with the Celts. Believe it or not, they didn't build it. It was actually there. I don't know where it came from, but it was there from more than 1,000 BC. They just didn't adopted it. So they use these facilities, if you like, for their ceremonies, and there were ceremonies were all around their pagan gods and idol worship, evil practices, and what is key as part of these festivals was child and animal sacrifices to the gods. And the dates from even pre-BC, the Celts trace their history back to around 1240 to 860 BC before they moved around, which I'll show you where they went. The Celtics, their priests were called Druids. Has anyone heard of a Druid? Where? Exactly. I'll cover that now. What you see here is a modern Druid meeting because you recognize the Tower of London behind it. But these things are still going on today. And so does the things of darkness and people who are meeting in association with the spiritual world, which sort of peaks at this festival. Wicca, Satanism, seances, everything of this is rooted in paganism. And these practices are perceived as not so bad. We try and adopt them and just make them look okay. But God says, you shall not behave thus toward the Lord your God, for every abominable act which the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. So while they celebrated this to their gods, the Lord is speaking against it. And it says, they even burn their sons and daughters in fire to their gods. So right back in the Old Testament, God knew what was happening. And these things carried on. Where did it come from? So here's a map showing the spread of the Celtic people spread into Britain, into Ireland, into France. France was also called Gaul. You might recognize that from asterisks and obliques. And Spain, which we know from the Bible is Galatia. So these people were around areas and further. Today, I didn't put the map in the presentation, otherwise here till lunchtime. The top edges of Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Britain, and very small fringe areas actually still speak Gaelic, linked back to the Celtic people rooted in this religion. Let me just go back. But what does God say about this? With this whole thing having been spread around the world. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, put on your guard so that you're not carried away by the evil, by the error of the unprincipled men, and therefore and fall from your own steadiness. Do not be carried away. I think we can say that that is what's happening when you look around, how everyone is just carried away. I've seen companies celebrating Halloween. I've seen just about everywhere. It's as if this thing is a floodgate that is just growing and growing. Down. So the Celts had a symbol, one of the symbols. It's called the Triskelon. See, everything in the spiritual world mirrors but inverts, in a sense, what God does. God has the Trinity, but the Triskelon here is actually linked to the threefold death that they believed in, and also the types of druids that existed, which I'll cover just now. And so they sort of intertwined, and these symbols are engraved all over the parts where they lived. So Halloween can be linked back to biblical paganism. Is that better? Okay. Halloween can be linked back to biblical paganism. Assyria was an ancient nation for about 1,000 years history. You see on the screen here is a zodiac inscribed stone from Nimrud that was uncovered in archaeological diggings in Egypt. And they were eventually destroyed as a people by God, as recorded in the Word of God, because of them. So that covers some of the background to where does this thing come from. So now let's look at, if we've got this festival, we know about it, it's happening. What is believed by the people who created it? Because people are going along with it, so maybe you should know, where does it come from in terms of what do they believe? And by people who still practice these things, we might have this so-called innocent-looking Halloween that's happening here, but behind the scenes, let me tell you, the enemy is at work, but there are still other practices happening that will probably still happen tonight in some of these groups of people. And that's what we need to understand. That's what's behind this. So it might look innocent, but under the surface, there's a lot going on. In terms of the history, the Celtic Druids, they were the religious order of the Celts, or Celts. Some people pronounce it Celts. I said Celts, so if I say Celts and you understand Celts, then you know what I mean. Druids were and still are, because there are Druids still to this day, rooted in the occult. They put spells on people. The word Druid means an oak seer. A seer, if you know, a fortune teller, a sorcerer, someone who by demonic practices is able to supposedly tell the future. And the trees and earth were very much linked into their version of paganism. And the Druids needed to know all their spells, rituals, and wisdom by heart. It took about 20 years to learn that. And there's not much recorded because it was all oral. One of the first recorded writings, I got it somewhere, was by Julius Caesar in one of the annals that he wrote about them. And they were broken into three categories of druids. You had bards. They were responsible for music and stories. Isn't it interesting how worship of the devil, we worship God, worship of the devil is also included with music and stories and poems. Ovates, they practiced medicine and clairvoyancy. And there's still that today, potions and all that stuff going on. And then the druids themselves, they were the philosophers, the teachers and the judges. They were the ones, basically, orators of the paganism and educating those in the ways of ultimately darkness. So what else is linked to this? Well, the Celtic zodiac, as you see, it's all trees, the 12 trees that were in their zodiac. And if we look at the next one, this is a zodiac, a Hindu zodiac, or you can see the Hindu names linked to the Western names. And God says about this in Deuteronomy 4, and beware lest you raise your eyes to the heavens, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the host of heaven, you will be drawn away and bow down to serve them. Things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. So God was warning from the start, do not be distracted by the things he created and worship them as God. He is the only God. Then you get more zodiacs. This is the Chinese zodiac with more animals. The word zodiac actually means wheel of animals. And there are 12 which basically plot the time through the year as it's been broken up. And Daniel answered the king, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, astrologers can show the king the mystery the king has asked. If you remember, Daniel was asked to interpret the king's dream. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. So you have to ask all the stuff that is so-called coming as truth from these people who are conducting these things, or what's the source of it? Very clear, the real truth only comes from God. A Western zodiac, it's scary how widely this is followed. When people are born, they're believed to be controlled by their destiny and nature because of what happened in the stars when they were born. Completely rooted in paganism, and just as the Celtics followed and believed it, it's forbidden by God. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. So if you even acknowledge, and we see it, people, they come to you and say, oh, what star sign are you? And we have to, at that point already, stop the discussion. Because otherwise you open yourself to this demonic influence because you're declaring it over yourself by our words. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, by our words we have life or death. And so all of this aspect, which is very strong, I mean, it's printed in the magazines, it's all over. This is one of the strongest flows of demonic deception that is so prevalent in the world today. The Celts' Halloween, what really went on there? What did they believe? Well, they had a bonfire. And the bonfires were actually typically human and animal sacrifices to their mythical pagan gods. And they were performed by the druids. And what the druids did, the evil things of Israel, this thing's cutting out. The evil things of Israel did following their pagan gods of the enemies. So exactly what these guys were doing, when you go and read in Kings and Chronicles, you find the same things happening with almost all the kings. There's nothing new. King Manasseh, he made his son pass through the fire and practiced witchcraft and used divination and dealt with mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Can you imagine burning your child? The Celtic bonfire, they had the face of their god. And if you can see in the detail, you can actually see it's a massive thing. And actually, inside, it's believed that there were often the children's sacrifices inside there. You shall not give your offspring to offer them to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Leviticus 18:21. Getting even more sinister. Satanic rituals on Halloween night also have bonfires. While I was researching, I discovered this. The word bonfire actually comes from bone fire, because the bones are burnt. They drink blood and other black drinks. They have ritual steps, actions, and chants that I didn't bother to declare or share. And this is a short extract from where some of this information was found. And right at the bottom you see there, and celebrate Halloween and reflect on what it means for you personally to walk in the path of darkness. There's a specific evil intent to walk in the path of darkness. But God says, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. You know, for everything that you see, it was almost easy to find that God says something to the contrary. The satanic rituals on Halloween night, obviously they had the bonfire, but there were black cats and these pumpkins that have been hollowed out. They were actually turnips in Ireland and those places. And then they didn't have turnips in the U.S. when the Irish immigrated there. So they used pumpkins to so-called ward off these spirits. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And that's what I believe God told me to do today. So if we look at Halloween or Samhain, as it's called, what is it linked to? What are the Druid priests of the Celts and the priests of Baal? What are they linked to? So the pagan gods of the Bible, some of them are listed there. Baal Peor, Ashtoreth, Chemosh, Molech, Moloch, Melech, same thing, and Dagon of the Philistines. The Molech that I was referring to earlier in the scriptures, God actually speaks about it, and there was the Ammonite god. And this is the one pictured here, Molech. And so the pagan gods are in the Bible. There's nothing different. The enemy has had this thread of a strategy against God from the beginning of time. And after Jesus, in AD, the Druids then worshipped nature. The Greek and the Romans worshipped mere mythical heroes. And the gods for the Celts were fauna, flora, water, fast-flowing, sacred oak trees. They prayed to the moon and the sun, and they worshipped the time and the tide and the changing seasons. And the first written account of their Druid activities was written by Julius Caesar in what was called the Commentaries on the Gallic Wars. So if you look, you can see that whole thing of asterisks and obliques is written at the time. The year is 55 to 56 AD, when the Romans were trying to eliminate these celts and their practices, and so that actually comes clear in the books that you read. But that shows you too that they were actually Celtic people, painted as nice characters in little children's stories, but the real things that were going on there were had their roots in paganism and demonic stuff. And when you look up to the sky and you see the sun and the moon and the stars and the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them. And yet, in paganism, everything is about bowing down to the moon and the sun and the stars. Now, the tree huggers and whoever you might call them, the people who basically worship nature above God, this is rooted in this. This is where it comes from. Because the enemy wants to create deceptions, and whatever will deceive someone will work. So what else did they practice? The Celts practiced divination. I can't remember the name of these cubes, but it doesn't matter. You can just see. Psychic mediums still operate today as they operated back then, using many different methods. And divination means the art or act of foretelling future events or revealing occult knowledge by means of augury or an alleged supernatural agency. And Leviticus 19:26 says, do not eat meat with blood still in it. So there's one proviso that we've already covered where people drink blood on these festivals. And another one, do not practice divination or seek omens. And the superstitions and astrology, like I've already mentioned, this is hectic. This is one of Satan's biggest deceptors out there in the world today. What does astrology actually mean? It means the divination, again that same word, of the supposed influences of the stars and the planets on human affairs and terrestrial events by their positions and aspects. From biblical times, astrology was used to present the ungodly. The Celtic astrologers, the Hindu, Chinese, and modern all believe in this. And horoscopes are common today. And as I've shared before, Daniel 2, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. What else? Tarot cards. Another form of divination. The triskelion that you see in a different form on the box there. And another one, you see it with the Celtic cross and the O of the tarot. Celtic cross, the circle represents the sun. So you might be deceived to think that when it looks all nice and old and eerie and stuff when you see these cross with these circles on it. But actually, that's not a biblical cross. The Celtic cross. It's rooted in paganism and witchcraft. The cards were also laid out. I also didn't do highlight that. But they were laid out in a cross, exactly like the shape of that cross. And then read to so-called divine a person's future. And so these things are practiced from the very core of Halloween that the world is caught up with in today. The Celtic cross. Celtic people were pagans. They worshipped multiple gods, but they were absorbed into Christianity. And since their pagan practices were adopted back then in 56 AD by the Catholic Church, but God says, have nothing to do with the godless myths, old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value. Mark, we'll have to up our game in cycling, eh? But godliness has value for all things. Holding promise for both the present and the life, present life and the life to come. So, what or who is behind this festival? I think we've obviously already worked some of that out. But let's actually go into some of the detail of what actually happens on this Halloween festival to expose and to uncover the strategy of the enemy himself. So, why the dressing up? And these pictures you find on the internet, children dressed like demons. It is intended to look like demons, to scare, so-called scare away the evil spirits that are roaming, because I believe that in these times, that is actually happening. Believe me, the devil's not going to miss out on an opportunity to capitalize on something that he created. You'd be naive to think that he's not. Blindly and unknowingly opening the door to the demonic spirits in these kids. So we have to take a stand. There are companies that celebrated Halloween. People had to decide, are you going to go to that thing or not? Posted on the internet, on LinkedIn, and all these things, I saw videos. We're ready for Halloween. What's happened to the screen? Okay. I'll carry on here. I'm on the same slide. So the spirit will... John Ramirez, who is a saved ex-Satanist, revealed the extent and the realm and the importance of Halloween to the Satanists. Interesting fact that I didn't share earlier, but Satanism is actually not that old. It was started back in California around the 70s, 60s, but it wasn't started. It was another thing that the enemy just changed his stripes. Because if you look at the practices, it was nothing different to the root Celtic Druids and their practices. You may as well have just called them Satanists. There was just a different time. And so the way I see it is like Satan is this crafty chameleon that through the ages is changing his stripes so that his wiles and his deceptive plans will always work for the people that live on the earth at that time. But Matthew 18 says, if anyone causes these little ones to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. Now I have to warn parents, you are subject to that verse and its conditions if you knowingly, now that you know this, and unfortunately, once you've heard this message, God gives you no excuse because you've now heard the truth. But your children, by letting your children or even people in your family go and do this, as I've explained, it opens them to the demonic realm. God's saying, then I'm holding you to account. Why the pumpkin? It was intended to ward off evil spirits while welcoming back the spirits of the departed dead, my goodness. And they used turnips, as I mentioned, in Ireland before immigrating to the USA where the festival took off. That's how it spread to America and suddenly exploded from there. And now it's celebrated almost everywhere. I looked it up. And it's in Asia, in practically the whole of Europe. And now in the US and basically the whole of North America. And Africa wasn't really included in that, but as you can see, clearly it is, because we live in Africa. And it's come here too. Because we've been caught up by the deceptive plans to make this thing look like sweet candy. And Saul said to his attendants, find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her. There is one in Endor, they said. So Saul disguised himself. Sound familiar? Putting on other clothes. And at the night, not in the day, at the night, he and two men went to the woman. Consult a spirit for me, he said, and bring up for me the one I name. And if you read that passage, you'll remember he brings up Samuel. And then, so that you can see this is real, that woman screamed when she realized who he was, because through that, she realized it was actually Saul, the one who had put a curse of death on anyone who conducts that. So he'd done the right thing, but then he went and turned back because God wasn't answering him. It also says, I see I didn't put the reference there, but do not defile yourselves by turning to mediums or those who consult the spirit of the dead. I am the Lord your God. Why are the children? You have to ask yourself, why are the children in the strategy? It's a deceptive plan of Satan to condition young, impressionable minds. Parents willingly allow their children to participate, but unknowingly open the children to the demonic influence and power. You know that the devil also knows what the Bible says? And he knows this verse, and he's using it to his advantage. But whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin. Sorry, that wasn't the verse I was expecting there. I think I've got it later. It was train up in a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Okay? And if the devil can get little children at a young, impressionable age and train them up in his ways, when they are old, they will not depart from it. So that is the caution that we have. Why the sweets? Why the sweets? Trick or treat? The treats were intended for the spirits who would come so that they could be appeased by the so-called candy. But look at that. That candy is not pretty. It's gaudy and vile. And in the Celt time where they lived, beggars would actually come too. And they would then offer to pray for the household's deceased and their dead in return for what they called soul cakes. A subtle deception of Satan. The money in Halloween candy now exceeds $2 billion from five companies. $2 billion of candy sold for one day festival from five companies. Do not be fooled by those who try to excuse their sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Do not participate in these things that these people do. Now, when you look at the darkness in the root, you get some vile pictures. The best way I decided to describe it was just black darkness. The complete absence of light. Darkness and light do not mix. But darkness is exposed by God's light. Isn't it fascinating when you come into a room and you switch on the light? Suddenly all darkness just vanishes. Switch off the light and it comes back. It is shameful to even talk about the things that these ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible, Ephesians 5. How can the righteous be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? What union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temples of the living God. So, if I made that circle white, you wouldn't see it anymore. Light and darkness cannot mix. And God is emphatic about that. And the parallel thread through life has been continuously that the enemy has his plans and his threats rooted in paganism. Worship other gods. If the Bible says this, do that. If the Bible says don't do this, then do it. If the Bible says do this, then don't. And finally, rebellion. Satan rebelled against God right in the beginning, and that rebellion hasn't stopped. Everything he is behind rebels against God. And Deuteronomy 13 says, serve only the Lord your God and fear him alone. Obey his commands and listen to his voice and cling to him. The false prophets and the visionaries who try to lead you astray must be put to death, for they encourage rebellion against the Lord your God. So what's the real danger? And what is the strategy? Everything diabolical. Diabolical means anything that is extremely wicked, cruel, and evil. But as you can see, it comes repackaged, looking like good. Satan is extremely shrewd and subtle. I watched a video by Louis Giglio, "The Devil is at Your Table," or "The Enemy is at Your Table." Some of you may have seen it. And there's a little part in there, he takes the honey stick and he says, the devil doesn't do this, walk up to Mark and say, "I'm going to shove this down your throat and choke you till you die." Too obvious. No. He smoothes up to you like you sit next to your wife or your girlfriend. How's it? And that's what he's doing in every single strategy. So, asterisks, as I've highlighted, witchcraft, Satan's agendas, they're repackaged. And he's disguising evil as good. I don't have the scripture here, but the word says in the end times, evil will increase. And in Isaiah 55, I think it says, they will call good evil and evil good. And that's what's happening today. Gay rights, can't say anything against them. But the Lord says, it's not judging the people, just holding out the truth. You decide. Because once you've heard that truth, you have to decide. And when you decide, you'll be held to account for that decision later, when things come to an end on this earth for each one of us. And so, Satan's agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy. And the strategy for children, as I've highlighted, it's a deception. It's to condition the mind to accept evil and to condition the heart. Be open, be fair, judge. But in every scripture that I've highlighted, in contrast to this, God doesn't have compromise. There is no compromise. Do this. Don't have a part with evil. The reason people think that you're judging them, because they want you to come along with them to make them feel better about what they're doing, because their conscience knows that it's wrong. And they're living in denial. So the Wizard of Oz, shockingly, written by Frank Baum, who came out of the roots of theosophy, another paganism. This is quite what he said. I've extracted pieces of it. "It was pure inspiration. It came to me out of the blue. I happened to be the medium." Notice the choice of words. "And I believed the magic," notice the choice of words, "key, was given to me to open the doors to sympathy and understanding, joy, peace, and happiness." On the surface, it seems all good. But it's a very subtle ploy. Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for who he can steal, kill, and devour. Many children's stories are filled with witches. Why? 101 Dalmatians, The Witches by Roald Dahl, Harry Potter, Pokemon, the Marvel movies of late. Stories with fairies abound, wizards and warlocks, pagan gods worshipping the sun, moon, stars, earth, trees, animals, and so on, except the living God. And again, that verse is Proverbs 22, verse 6. "Start children off in the way they should go, and even when they're old, they'll not depart from it." This is Satan's strategy, people. And Halloween has just become his latest agenda that is exploding across the earth, along with all the star signs and the astrology that goes with it. So, everything seems innocent. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced, but a disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, your body, your passions, from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. There is a path for each person that seems right, but in the end it leads to death. A fake angel of light. A wolf disguised in sheep's clothing. Satan is crafty and disguises all his schemes. People need to be wise. I'll just read the underlined portion. For such people are false prophets, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Beware of false prophets in Matthew 7. Disguised as harmless sheep, they are really vicious wolves. This is the strategy of the one behind Halloween. His schemes are there to entrap. He ensnares, and he says here in Ezekiel 13, verse 18 at the bottom, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, woe to women who sew magical charms on their wrists and make veils of various lengths in their head to ensnare the people. Will you ensnare the lives of the people who preserve your own? And then he carries on in that passage. He says, I am against your magic charms with which you ensnare people like birds. Because you have encouraged the wicked not to turn from their evil ways and so save their lives, therefore you will no longer see false visions and practice divination. I will save my people from your hands. Jesus is the light, the way, and the truth. Nobody can come to God or be saved except by him. The coup d'etat is that Jesus is the only way, not a way. He's the only way. All these pagan principles, of which Halloween is a key part, are seated in this aspect that we just embrace all. Everything's okay. But Jesus said he is the only way. Jesus was God made flesh as God's Son. You see, our Trinity is not as the pagan Trinity. The pagan Trinity were three entities. But if you read your Bible, you will see there's one God. There's not three gods. There's one God. Paganism worships the sun, the moon, and the stars, or the sun and the earth. Three gods and more. I didn't put the table up, but I've got a table of all the different things and what their gods were named. But the Lord says there's one God, and Jesus is a manifestation of that God as his Son. He was also the only human who never sinned. And when he died, he did so for every person's sins so that no one would have to die and be separated from God in hell forever. And he says, if you confess with your mouth and Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So anyone online watching this, anyone in here, wherever you find yourself, this is the crux of what God determines, how to save yourself from this wickedness that I've exposed. You have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And if you don't do the two, then you're lying. Satan is the father of lies. You cannot confess with your mouth, but inside your heart say, well, I'm just doing this so people can see. You have to believe it because God knows the heart. And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so, he is the way, not a way. He is the truth, not a truth. And he is the life. Isaiah 50 verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let the one who walks in dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. So there is always an opportunity to turn. No matter how deeply seated, no matter how deep you are in darkness and deception, no matter what's happened in your family's history, God says there's a way. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I trust that that speaks to you, challenges you and makes you realize that God has a hope and a future. It's all there for you to accept. And the reality is that you have to decide. Now, I want to give an opportunity. We're going to worship God just now. But before we do that, I want to give an opportunity for people to respond. Online, and if you watch this after it's live, reach out to us and we'll help you. But even in here, if there's anyone who is concerned because you might have dabbled in the area of this witchcraft or paganism or something like that, if you are not absolutely certain that you've been set free, if you're not absolutely certain that Jesus is your Savior, then I want you to stand. We don't have to do this secretly or whatever, because you know what? God says, if you confess me before others, I'll confess you before my Father. This is not a secret meeting of the Druids where we have to put hoods and cloaks on ourselves and disguise ourselves. This is where God wants to say, you know what? I see you. Don't worry what people think. Is there anyone that wants to respond? We can chat to you afterwards if you need to be saved or we need to talk to you. But is there anyone who feels that this aspect of paganism, the roots of witchcraft, whatever it is, astrology, has had an influence, or you still in that area and say, I want to say, Lord, set me free from this, or forgive me for that. Won't you stand? Anyone? Thank you. You know, God can set everyone free. He just needs a willing heart. Yes, Norman.
A young man was in my home about 20 odd years ago when we were busy having home soul. And I heard these words come out of this young man's mouth. Why do we have to serve the sun, the moon, and the stars when we can serve the God that created them? That changed my life. Thank you, Warren Pace.
Awesome. Thank you. Rory, can I pray with you? Have you... Again? Of course. Rory, is it that you want to give your life to the Lord, or is there... You've got... Okay. Okay. Stand. If you want to stand for those that you know we need to pray for. Of course.
Just as Quinton's been exposing this whole thing, what's really highlighted to me is the role of parents, that we've got to train our children in the ways of the Lord. And it might not necessarily be you, but just in your families and the influence of this thing, that we've just got to be very wise in this thing. And I just really just sense it's, Walt Disney is not all good. The witchcraft is coming through. The toys that you give your children are not always good. And this is going to be a difficult thing, because when we God gives us our children, we dedicate ourselves to train the children in the ways of the Lord. And if we've done that, I just sense we just need to come before Lord. If we've made errors, and I'm not saying to go on a witch hunt and looking for these things. No, you must take everything to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to guide you and direct you. And if those things are not of God, get rid of them. The stuff that's sitting in the toys, the stuff that's sitting there, the movies, I don't know, it will cost you money, but it says in the book of Acts, it cost them, the books that they gave away were millions of dollars, actually. And I'm just sensing in God, if you want to just sense God in the fullness, to just stop the devil from getting a root in your family, throw those things away, actually burn them, get rid of them in your life. Especially the African people, if you've been caught up in spiritualism, things in the past, those things need to be confessed, those things need to be broken, and they cannot have authority in your life because it will hold you back in knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if that's you today also, please stand, and we'd love to pray with you also. Amen.
I just want to add, what Mark was sharing, it's something that I was going to mention, is that the thread through this entire message is that we cannot take stuff from evil and, like I said earlier this morning, take a black filth and put a white tablecloth on it. It doesn't work. We have to come out of the world. One of those scriptures said we have to die to that stuff. So we cannot bring along stuff from the past into our new work with the Lord. It has to be gone. We have to cut it off, just like Mark highlighted what happened when Paul was, I don't know which city he was, maybe Arthur remembers, but they burnt a pile of books, I would imagine, like the size of this hall, and it was millions of dollars or rands. And so we have to come out of this stuff. You have to go and look as well in your home whether there's stuff that you've been given. Derek Prince teaches a lot on that stuff. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are exposing the darkness. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the light, the truth. That Jesus, you are the light, the truth, and the only way. And Father, we stand on behalf of Rory and all those that are standing for their families. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness that is in Christ. That we have taken from the past, and unknowingly sometimes, because deception catches us. You don't have to feel bad if you've been deceived. But the moment you come to the knowledge, you come to the place of repentance. And so, Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming to you in repentance and to be delivered of these things. And Father, we pray that the power of your Holy Spirit will become evident and real in people's lives as we stand now and we thank you, Lord, that in Rory's life that you have broken off the past. You have forgiven him. Today he is set free and he is released. And we pray that the same would happen for those people who have stood for their families, that the roots of this satanic power disguised in all these ways would be exposed and removed in Jesus' name. And that the people would come to the light and come out of the darkness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.